This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:07. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn, and we're starting off our show with a story about the eviction of refugees. And this is actually coming as I think stories about refugees, migrants, undocumented migrants have all been making headlines over the last couple of weeks or so for various reasons. But this is kind of an interesting development because the Immigration Department is warning landlords that they'd face action if they keep renting their properties to undocumented migrants. And as the government seems to be raising the ante on migrant issues, NGOs and community leaders are getting more worried. Because what's happening now is over 100 refugees risk facing eviction. And not just any refugees, they're United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees cardholders, that's UNHCR cardholders. And NGOs such as Beyond Borders have actually pointed out a few issues with the government's move. Because firstly, as UNHCR cardholders, they are entitled to stay in Malaysia temporarily before moving to another country. And also because they hold official refugee passes, grouping them together with undocumented migrants actually doesn't make any sense. And the situation is complicated further because, according to refugee rights advocate Hanif Mafa, Malaysian law doesn't distinguish between refugees and undocumented migrants. And I think that outside of the law, we also see some larger issues when it comes to, I think, distinguishing the difference between refugees and undocumented migrants, because I do think that for the average person who maybe doesn't sort of ask for UNHCR cards, etc., the distinction and the difference might not be as clear as it ought to be. And so when you hear directives, I think, coming from the government about not renting to people who are undocumented, there seems to be a sort of catch-all or large approach, a blanket approach to the situation that it really doesn't need, because it is important, as we're hearing, to differentiate, to actually say, look, you know, this is who we're talking about. And this is a problem, I think, when it comes to talking about foreign nationals in our country in general, to understand that it's not healthy, I think, to think of everybody as a sort of monolithic block of people, but instead to understand that people might be coming from different circumstances, they have different reasons for being in the country and different reasons for wanting to stay. So we are going to be talking about this story. Again, it is about the fact that some refugees are being evicted as the Immigration Department warns landlords that they might face action if they keep renting their properties to undocumented migrants. If you have any thoughts, you can call us at 7732900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we're going to be speaking with Lillian Fan, co-founder and international director at the Gutanyo Foundation. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Because freedom matters. BFM 89.9.
It is 6:12 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn. We're talking now about the eviction of refugees. The Immigration Department has warned landlords that they would face action if they continue to rent their properties to undocumented migrants. And now over 100 refugees, and we're talking about people who are recognised as refugees, risk facing eviction. If you'd like to weigh in, if you have any thoughts, you can call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. In the meantime, we're crossing over now to Lillian Fan, co-founder and international director at the Gutanyo Foundation. Lillian, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
So could we start with perhaps, what is the situation on the ground at the moment for refugees, and how are they feeling about what's going on?
Well, I think what we need to understand is that this is a series of incidents of eviction that's taken place, not across the country, in fact, but really in one particular area, which is in the KL part of the Selayang area, around the Selayang Pasar Borong. So that's actually where we're seeing this issue arise of quite a number of families who have basically been asked to leave, have been evicted by their landlords over the last few days. And it has resulted in, of course, a lot of fear and panic within the refugee community, particularly the Rohingya community, But I think it's important to also understand that this is quite a concentrated area that this is taking place in. It's a very specific situation in the Pasir Borong Selayang area, and that has a whole history to it, including, of course, the fact that it was under EMCO, you know, during the EMCO period, and also that there's been this long-standing issue of undocumented migrants who've been holding a lot of jobs there to the displeasure of the locals. So there's a whole history that comes behind that, and that's why I think we're seeing this issue, you know, sort of erupt in that area. But it has caused a lot of panic. There is a lot of fear and uncertainty within the refugee community.
Right. So in that particular neighbourhood then, if people, if we are seeing refugees getting threatened with eviction or evicted, what options do they have after that happens?
Well, I think we also need to understand why it's happening. So, I mean, it's not only because, you know, there have been letters that have gone out from the immigration as well as DDKL. But aside from that, it's also been very difficult for people to pay their rent. So in a lot of cases, in fact, you know, there are NGOs and also UNHCR who are working directly with people who've been evicted and also mediating with their landlords to try to find out if there's any way to resolve the eviction issue and to have rent paid up. And in most of the cases, it's an issue, you know, because actually people haven't been able to pay rent for many, many months now. And that, of course, is due to the loss of livelihood, which is affecting everybody, but it's much worse in the Selayang area for undocumented migrants and for refugees who have had jobs there and now are unable to work there anymore. Having said all this, there is engagement taking place with the local government and even at the ministry level. The Federal Territories Ministry has been very engaging and solutions are being sought. So I would say that, you know, there has been, the first few days when this started, there was a lot of fear. People ended up basically going to the only place they thought they could get help, which was the UNHCR office. And that caused a bit of a, you know, this emergency situation where, you know, you had at one point 50-something families outside UNHCR basically, or, you know, asking UNHCR for help. And UNHCR had to contact organizations, including us and MRA, Imaret and others to basically support them to, number one, find shelter, and number two, be able to provide basic needs for these people who have been evicted. I think that in terms of what's happening now, there are options. I mean, I think the first thing to do is to ensure that there is contact with HCR, and HCR will coordinate with the partners who can help on this. And secondly, I think important to really try to see if there's a way to keep talking to the landlord and to see, you know, to what extent an eviction might be preventable, to what extent is it an issue about not being able to pay the rent, and to what extent is it an issue of a landlord just deciding that they are no longer willing to rent to a UNHCR cardholder.
Right. And when we looked at the story, it came from the Malay Mail, and it talked quite a bit about that idea of being a UNHCR cardholder. Could you talk to us about the significance of that and what it would allow you to do or to access?
Well, I think this is a really important issue right now, particularly because the government is, you know, putting so much focus on, you know, trying to ensure that there is a kind of a strict policy on undocumented migrants. The issue is that UNHCR cardholders should not be classified in the same way as undocumented migrants only, even though, of course, under Malaysian law, we don't currently have a law that, you know, legally documents UNHCR cardholders or refugees in general. We don't have a domestic refugee asylum system. But at the same time, the government does recognize you know, verified UNHCR cards and has mechanisms with UNHCR to verify those cards to make sure that there isn't fraud taking place and people aren't faking cards. So there is a level of recognition. And in fact, the Federal Territories Minister said today that he was actually very surprised to learn that UNHCR cardholders were being evicted as well because they, you know, for his view and their ministry's view, UNHCR cardholders should have the right to rent. The issue is that there's still an unclarity, there's a lack of clarity in policy. But it is very important that, you know, to understand that the government and UNHCR and NGOs are working on this issue together to try to come, you know, to try to generate a policy that actually works for everyone. It's not there yet, and I think this is where also some of the confusion lies. Because I think the general population, and in some of the mass media as well, it's generally reflected that, you know, anybody, even with UNHCR cards, anyone without proper documents in terms of a, you know, working visa to be in the country or some type of permanent pass, you know, is basically an undocumented migrant. So that's where the lack of clarity comes in. So there really does have to be, I think, from the very top level down to the community level, a lot of clarity about definitions and understanding that UNHCR cards should not be put in the same category as undocumented migrants.
What is it going to take, do you think, in order to have those sorts of corrections or clarifications? Because as we've been discussing, it is clearly very important that there are distinctions drawn.
Well, I think it needs to come from several levels of authority. Certainly with the immigration has put up, you know, notices and letters about undocumented migrants. And I think having a clause in these letters to actually clarify to say, you know, with UNHCR cardholders, this doesn't apply to UNHCR cardholders. The difficulty is that with the Immigration Act, you know, under the Immigration Act, there's still, there isn't anything yet that actually clarifies any legal status or confers any legal status to UNHCR cardholders. So this is why the immigration hasn't done that. But I think we need to be careful and pragmatic when it comes to this, so that if, you know, urging the immigration, and in fact, you know, a number of NGO partners have said that immigration, you know, in KL, has actually said that they don't feel that UNHCR cardholders, you know, fall under this category of, you know, what we call PASI, right? The undocumented migrants without legal passes. But I think that, you know, it's a bit difficult to ask for a statement of policy when the policy doesn't exist. So it does need decisions and discussions to be made. Not just at immigration level, but, you know, probably at cabinet level. But in the interim, I think some type of clarity from communication from immigration would be really helpful. And then further to that, you know, for the longer term, there really does need to be some clarity on policy, which everybody can work on, you know, together to align to a proper policy that the government issues.
And as you rightly point out, this is happening against the backdrop or the context of lots of different things kind of coalescing around this issue of undocumented migrants and refugees. Are you noticing a shift in tone in terms of how Malaysians are thinking about and talking about refugees?
Well, I think there's, you know, for me, the shift in tone has been from one of generally, you know, sort of being empathetic and sympathising with refugees to one where there tends to be the conflation of, well, you know, and also a lot of misunderstanding about actually what the state is doing for refugees, because I think there's an assumption that the government is, you know, pouring lots of money into assistance for refugees, that the state is, you know, providing, you know, even I think at some point there was some rumors going around that there were like monthly packages and of assistance that were going out to the refugee communities, which are untrue. But I think what does need to be clarified is, well, you know, let's all be very clear about, number one, where the policy gaps are. Number two, what's a sustainable policy that actually works for all stakeholders, Malaysians included, local Malaysians included, you know, what would that look like? And actually a conversation that addresses all of the concerns, you know, advocates obviously for more rights for refugees, but also ensures that refugees understand obligations. And I think this is where one of the issues you know, that really does need to be discussed in more depth is how do we also reach out to the refugee community and engage them on understanding, you know, what would it mean for them to live in Malaysia in a way that they can be more accepted, where they don't cause tensions with local communities. I think a lot of the issues that were coming up in Selayang, for example, were actually around cultural issues, issues about lifestyle, issues about hygiene. These are all issues that can be resolved if there's proper engagement and proper education of these communities, and, you know, teach people the rules of what it means to live in a society in a socially cohesive way. So these are all things that remain to be done. And I think, you know, in some ways, it's unfortunate to hear some of the negative comments, but I think it's also really an opportunity for all stakeholders to actually find a way to address these issues in a much more serious way.
So on that note then, what are you hoping to see addressed in the immediate sense? Because I think a lot of what we've been talking about today, that there are some long-term initiatives, there are some immediate things that need to be talked about. What are you hoping to see happen in the next few months, for instance, when it comes to refugees?
Well, I mean, certainly immediately for this issue on the evictions, I think, you know, clarity from the immigration, even supporting, you know, the federal territories minister's statement that, you know, refugees actually should be allowed to rent. So reassure landlords that this is not illegal, because landlords are being told that they will be fined if they are, you know, renting their premises or, you know, hiring undocumented migrants. So there is some fear on the side of landlords and employers. So I think to clarify to them that, you know, this doesn't apply, certainly on the renting issue, this doesn't apply to UNHCR cardholders. That's a first important step, which I think can be done immediately. It's been done already by federal territories. So the immigration, if there's a way for them to kind of, you know, step up and reinforce that statement, that would be really helpful. Number two, I think, is the longer-term discussion. Number two is actually mediation. It's kind of a medium-term issue about really, you know, ensuring there's stronger dialogue with people in communities where there is a large refugee population, such as Layang, and ensuring that there's a real conversation, a very honest conversation that's taking place between the local communities, you know, who have a lot of their own issues and challenges, and giving them a safe space to voice whatever grievances they have, whatever negative perceptions they might have, and bringing the refugee, you know, community representatives to that dialogue to make sure they actually listen and understand what those mean. If there needs to be conditions about, you know, living side by side, well, we need to be clear about what those conditions are. If there's a way that's acceptable and a way and manners that are unacceptable, that also needs to be clarified. Then I think in the you know, medium to longer term, there really needs to be a conversation about you know, documentation and work sectors. So work rights for refugees have to be clarified. Which sectors actually would the government allow refugees to work in legally? And that conversation has started already. Human Resources Minister has been talking, has had conversations with UNHCR, and it's a discussion that's ongoing. And I think that's really important to, you know, to focus on, because it will mean that the refugee population, the refugee communities, which are very diverse, but the largest is, of course, the Rohingya, they should actually be encouraged to go into sectors which where they can actually get some type of legal permission to work. And the civil society organizations, you know, NGOs can support both UNHCR and the government on helping to facilitate that, to, you know, get those messages out, to work with communities to understand what their options are, to prepare if any kind of, you know, movements of communities needs to be done, to make sure that that's done in a very managed and coordinated way that doesn't create the type of emergency that we're seeing now. And there are many organizations who are really ready to stand, you know, we're really standing by to basically help the government on this and stand ready to be of assistance in this, especially with the links that we already have in the refugee community.
Lillian, thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Thank you so much.
That was Lillian Fan, co-founder and international director at the Gattagno Foundation, commenting on basically a situation that we're seeing, which is that UNHCR card-holding refugees may risk facing eviction. Specifically, I think Lillian clarified, in a particular part of KL near the Pasar Borong. So if you have any thoughts or comments that you'd like to offer, you can get in touch. That number is 7733 2900 to call. You can also WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.